Part 17, Chapter 6. Johnny looked toward the ore plane landing field beyond the short road. Deserted. The Scot, carrying radio equipment, answered his beckoning. The covering scrap of a tarpaulin was cascading rain. Johnny checked the set. Working. He flipped to planetary pilot band and picked up the mic.
"Flight to Nairobi, standing by,"
said Johnny. It would sound like routine pilot traffic, but a code had been prearranged with the two ships they had left near the power plant. Nairobi meant fly into our beacon, and standing by meant don't come in shooting, but be alert. Dunaldine's voice crackled back.
"All passengers aboard."
They were on their way. Johnny took the mine radio off his belt and turned it to constant bleep, which was used by miners when trapped or caught in a cave-in. It would act as a radio beacon for the planes. He stabbed a finger at three of his force. As the men passed, he handed one of them the mine radio to put in a tree at the field. Assault rifles held low, running wide of the compound, pausing to give one another cover. They raced toward the landing field. Shortly, one of them, seen as a blur through the dull curtains of rain, but brighter out there on the field edge, raised a hand in an all clear. They would give the plane's landing cover as they came in. Johnny slung the blast rifle over his shoulder and hobbled across the compound perimeter, his cane not sinking so deep on this more traveled ground. He could hear pumps going further south. That would be where the mine workings were. He saw that a branch of the power cables they had used to trace this place turned off halfway up the road to the field. He followed it. A squat hut made of stone sat there in the trees, festooned with insulators and surrounded by pipes. He recognized it as a fuel and ammunition manufacturing unit. Ha! They had one at this branch mine, probably to utilize all the excess power available from the hydroelectric plant. The ground around it was roughed up with recent foot and flatbed traffic. The door was ajar. He gave it a push with his cane. What a jumble! Fuel and ammunition canisters were usually stacked neatly on racks in these places. Side bins usually contained the various minerals used in concocting the contents of the canisters. A recent flurry of activity had left minerals spilled on the floor and damaged, unusable canisters underfoot. This place had been very busy very recently. He knew it took a bit of time to stir up and charge the brews that became fuel and ammunition and seal them into canisters. Had they worked here flat out for days? A week? He made his way over to the exit road that must go to the main mine site, using a shortcut between the two roads. He looked at the brush on both sides of the exit road. Ordinarily, his educated eye would have been able to track this easily, but the pouring rain made it more difficult. He bent, examining some twigs broken from the underbrush that bordered the road. Some breaks, the ones that pointed toward the compound, must be several days old. Others, very fresh, still leaking sap, were broken in the direction of the main mine site up near a lake that old man maps said had been called Lake Victoria.